Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word. Today, a message from Pastor Gary Crandall. It was presented in March of 2015. The title of the message, Treasure in Heaven.
Matthew chapter 6 today, Sermon on the Mount, really important portion of Scripture here is the Lord invites us to really think about what true treasure is. So Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's fast forward in the Gospel of Matthew a little bit to chapter 19, and starting at verse 16. "Now, behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God.'" So, of course, Jesus is pointing to the fact the reason he is good, there is only one who's truly good, and that's God. So Jesus is God. "But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Now, you might wonder, why didn't Jesus say, believe in the death and resurrection? Well, it hadn't happened yet. And so it's not that Jesus here is teaching us as post-resurrection believers that we need to work for eternal life, but rather, remember, this is still set in an Old Testament context. This is before the cross. So he says, keep the commandments. And he said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And it came down to the choice of, do I want the treasure that I have on this earth, or do I want the treasure that is in heaven forever? Sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And he went away sad, sorrowful, because he knew in this choice he was going to choose the stuff he had. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. See, I think that it's not that Matthew 19 is not just a story about that rich young ruler, but it is a commentary on our lives as well. Because we are kind of suspended between heaven and earth. And our desires for the things of earth, while at the same time we have a desire for the things of heaven. But on a day-to-day basis, which one really occupies your desire, your heart? Which one really occupies your focus, your direction? The treasures of earth or the treasures of heaven? And just what are those treasures anyways? We want to spend a little bit of time thinking about what that is. But first, back here in Matthew 6, let's consider the curse, we might call it, of of pursuing false treasure. And the first one I believe that Jesus is pointing to here in Matthew 6 is the treasuring the praise of men. Now, we don't get that simply from this passage, starting at verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but we get it from all the verses that immediately precede this. That is, verses 1 through 18. That whole passage is talking about when you give, don't do so in a way that people are going to praise you and honor you for it. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites and do it so everyone can see you and think what a godly person you are. When you fast, don't do it so that you are going to get the praise of men because you are humbling yourself and you want everyone to know it. You see, Jesus is saying that's the kind of treasure of earth. That's not looking for God's reward or God's treasure. That's looking for man's praise and earthly treasure, looking for the praise of others. So treasure in this context is not just about money or things, and we often view it that way. That's the main thing that catches our attention. But we need to be aware that it's not just about things. So in verses 1 through 18, then we see that there's a danger of seeking security and satisfaction through the accumulation of praise. We want people to praise us for what we're doing. And here in the following passages, 22 through 24, the danger of seeking security and satisfaction and the accumulation of things. It's interesting the way Jesus actually words this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures. And that the word translated lay up is the exact same word as treasure. So actually he's using the word treasure two times in a row. And it's the Greek word thesaurus. Thesaurus is like a dictionary, but it's a treasure trove of words. That is, you find all the synonyms and antonyms to a word in a thesaurus. It's kind of like a dictionary, but doesn't, instead of giving the definition, gives you other words related to it. So that treasure trove of words is called literally the Greek word thesaurus, which is treasure. And so Jesus is saying here, do not treasure treasure. Do not treasure for yourselves treasure of earth. Now, of course, the word thesaurus could be translated lay up or store up because that's what people did with treasure. I suppose technically you could translate this, do not lay up layups, but that would sound like a basketball game. But this is do not really treasure, store up treasures on earth. So an important question for us is, what is our source for security and satisfaction in this life? What is it that really brings us security? Do you store up stuff and things in bank accounts? And is this where you get security, or in things, is that where you get satisfaction? Luke 16, 14 says that the Pharisees were lovers of money, which was not incidental to the other sins for which Jesus rebuked them. See, the love of money is the chain that anchors us to this world. And everything we have beyond what we need makes this place more attractive, more comfortable, more easy to live in, and harder to leave. And it's kind of like the more pleasant and desirable earth is, the less desirable heaven is. We don't want to leave the party to go home. We are drawn to the world and drawn to the things of the world at the peril of being drawn away from heaven. And we can be so earthly minded that we are no heavenly good. Now, just a important distinction here in the Gospels and even in this passage, that Jesus is not saying that poverty is a means to spirituality, but a wrong view and a pursuit of things and wealth can lead us away from the true treasure we ought to be seeking. So the prohibition is not against being careful with money, but against being covetous of money. It's not the possession of things, but the priority of things, which is really the issue in our life. What place do they have? What hold do they have on you is the idea. I think Abraham was a great example of this. As you read in the book of Genesis, the life of Abraham, we read a number of times that Abraham was very rich. And yet you never get a sense that Abraham put his trust, his security, or satisfaction in all the accumulation of things that God had blessed him with. And wherever Abraham moved, he dwelt in tents. He was, according to Hebrews 11, always looking for that city whose builder and maker was God. He didn't build himself his own city, which he certainly could have. But everywhere that Abraham left, he built one thing. You know what that is? An altar. Everywhere Abraham moved, it says, and he built an altar to God there. So if you were to follow Abraham's trail years after he was gone, what you would find is no sign of his wealth, his possessions, his castle, his home, and you would find a trail of altars of worship to God. That's a great testimony. Because what was important to Abraham was God and serving him. Now, God blessed him with things, but the things did not control Abraham. So there's a curse in pursuing false treasure, like the rich young ruler found out. And as Jesus, I think, is pointing to the scribes and Pharisees here who are craving after the praise of men instead of wanting to please God, that is all false treasure. Verse 20, but lay up or treasure for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And notice the exact repetition here of those phrases in verse 19 and 20 of where neither moth nor rust will break in. Earthly treasures, they destroy. That is being destroyed from within as creatures eat it. Or thieves, that's being destroyed from outside as someone comes from outside you and takes it away. But the treasures of heaven, nothing inherent in it or internal in it and nothing external to it is going to be able to touch your treasure in heaven. That is the one secure bank in all of the universe. Nothing will touch that treasure. God wants you to store up treasure in heaven. It's not like, well, I shouldn't think about treasure on earth and I shouldn't think about treasure in heaven. I just shouldn't think about treasure at all. That's not true. God wants you to pursue, to lay up treasure in heaven, treasure for yourselves, treasure in heaven. You should want that. See, Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't pursue treasure, but he redefines for us what true treasure is. Jesus does not desire to deprive us of treasure. Rather, he directs us to the right choice of true treasure. Treasure the right things. Well, how do we store up treasure in heaven? And just what is this treasure? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, having the foundation of faith in Christ that we build our life upon, Paul is now going to say, be careful how you build that spiritual life. So its foundation is Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, this is not talking about your spiritual well-being as far as having spiritual life. That is settled because it's based on the foundation of Christ and that it's unshakable, unchangeable. But this is about how do you build up that life? What are you building into your life? And we can basically categorize these in two ways, Paul says. That is the good things you do that bring honor and glory to God. That's like gold and silver and precious stones. And then the things that are for self and this world, earthly treasure, that's wood, hay, stubble. And so we have all these things now accumulated for us in heaven. And they are going to be set on fire. And, you know, gems and gold, things like that, don't really burn. You put them in a fire, it's not going to ignite. But if you have wood, hay, stubble, like straw, that's going to burn. So in this moment of testing in heaven, what would your bonfire be like? You know, are you going to have one that goes just a little thing, and then it's a lot of jewels left? Or is it going to be, everybody back up 100 yards. We're going to light this thing. What are the works that you're doing saying about you, and what are you sending ahead? So when it's all gone, when that everything's consumed, what is left? Well, just the good things, just these precious stones that he talks about, and gold and silver, and that's all that's left. And so I don't want you to think that going into eternity, you're always going to drag around this wood pile with you. That's going to be gone in a flash. But what is left are the things which you have done for God, the works in your life that are done as unto God, not to please yourself, not to bring praise to yourself, glory to yourself, not to bring riches to yourself, but simply if you do your works before men so that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, you get a reward. So it's based on that. Is it done by God's power and God's Spirit for God's glory? There's reward in that. And Jesus and here Paul want us to know that, not just recognize there's some reward, but to actually pursue that then, to want to have a life that brings glory to God. I don't think it's so much wanting to pursue treasure per se as it is wanting to pursue the glory of God, which then yields the treasure. Let's jump over to the next book, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Maybe we'll look at a couple of passages here in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. Look at the last three verses of this wonderful chapter. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, For our light affliction, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For this, then he calls this 17, for our light affliction, but for a moment. And it's working, it's doing something, the light affliction that you're going through. And by the way, what we are going through, most of us, compared to what Paul went through, would seem a lot lighter than he went through. But that affliction that we're going through is actually doing something. It's active. It is literally producing in us a far more excellent and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. My wife has a wonderful phrase that she likes to remind me of when I get caught up in what's going to happen or what about this, and that is, what will it matter in 1,000 years? And that's a good perspective. What difference will it make in 1,000 years, whether something went this way or that way? You know, what difference is it going to make in 1,000 years or 10,000 years or 10 billion years when we have just begun eternity? I think about people in my life that God has allowed me to have maybe some special ministry in, especially having the privilege of sharing the gospel with someone and seeing them go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, become a child of God in an instant. And those faces come before me, and I think, I am so glad they are going to be in eternity forever. And that's like a treasure being sent ahead, although I'm probably going to get there before them. In the early church, during one of the many Roman persecutions, soldiers broke into a certain church to confiscate its presumed treasures. An elder in the church is said to have pointed to a group of widows and orphans who were being fed and said, "These are the treasures of the church." Really, what is our treasure? You know what our treasure is here? It's you, believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the treasure. And we need to realize what true treasure is. Let's get back to Matthew chapter 6. I've given you a number of verses in your notes because I knew we wouldn't have time to get through very many of them, but this would be good for you to maybe meditate on in this week, what God considers true treasures and how do I pursue that. You have to be able to recognize what it is first before you can pursue it. So hopefully those verses God will use to help you see. There's some wonderful ones in Revelation, for instance, chapter 2 and some other places. Well, back to Matthew 6, verse 19, don't treasure for yourselves treasures on earth. Rather, treasure for yourselves treasures in heaven. Then verse 21. And this is really the key to it. In one simple verse, Jesus summarizes the whole point. This is the key. The heart is the key. And he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. While we may be concerned about many treasures, our Father is concerned about our heart. And he knows that if our heart goes after earthly things, that's what we treasure, those things are connected, your treasure and your heart. You see, you can't have your treasure on earth and your heart in heaven. It doesn't work that way. Or you can't have your treasure in heaven and your heart on earth. You would be a divided person. Jesus is saying those things go together. If wherever you have one, you're going to have the other. But I think that too often we behave like schizophrenics. to have a divided mind. And we have part of our desire, our mind, on the things of heaven, and part of our desire and our mind on the things of earth, and we are kind of suspended between the two and go back and forth between the two. You can sense you're pursuing the things of heaven. You want to please God. And other times you get so wrapped up in the things of earth that without even purposefully doing it, you are pursuing the things of earth. Here's the idea. You have to purposefully seek the treasure of heaven. It is not going to happen naturally or easily. It is a war. It is a fight. And the natural person in you is going to want to gravitate back to self-fulfillment and the things of this life. And your friends and your neighbors and coworkers, and they also have that natural mindset. You need to have a supernatural mindset, governed by the Holy Spirit to direct us what true treasure is. So what is it that you treasure? Where are you looking for significance, satisfaction, and security in your life? What does your life say about what you really treasure? What do your decisions say about what you really treasure? What do your actions say about what you really treasure? What does your checkbook say about what you really treasure? While we're here, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. And I just want to close with this phrase, you are His own special people. That means you are His treasure. You as a son or daughter of God, you are His treasure. Now the question is God your treasure?
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Treasure in Heaven from Pastor Gary Crandall. It was originally presented in March of 2015 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.